Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
The nine-inning man.
Nine innings.
You know, I thought, man, 9 innings of baseball. I mean, how in the world? How long does 9 innings last?
Dude, I could build
five,
a house.
5 minutes.
Can you imagine that?
Minutes.
Come on. What a waste of time.
Five minutes.
What? Watch out. We're pretty close. Did we get those lightning rods put in?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness. 9 innings. Mm. 9 innings. Man, the Lord's coming back. Mm-hmm. That's a long, long time. I can understand if you're getting paid $10 million to play it. But, you know, okay. Well. Okay. We need help. We're taking it. No, I'm sure baseball's a really, you know, there's a lot of fans. That's actually the sport.
There's one.
Yeah. I played when I went to our family reunion. We always play a game.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
See what happens when you talk about baseball?
No doubt. I did the lightning
you
hit,
see
didn't
what
it?
Question is, you know, did you play good?
That was
the
same. That was the same situation going on.
Hey,
it's not the same thing. Well, here we are. Obviously, the Lord tried to take him out there, and said he only wasn't.
See what you get for talking about
5 minutes. It calls for 5 minutes. Woo! Okay, so and that's something like five. That's the Lord letting you know.
Oh, it's the Lord letting me know. Trust me.
Don't waste all that time on nine innings.
Not letting me know.
You can watch 2 or 3 innings, maybe.
How many minutes are we spending on? Wait a minute.
Yes.
Lord, forgive us. Yes, we will get back on.
Yes. Use that light from that game to read the book that God's saying read right now. Speaking of that, that's exactly what it was.
That's what it was.
Exactly what it was.
Mm. We were right and you're wrong. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Getting back to the program here.
Did y'all see this?
By the way, earlier program we talked about John was being in the NBA. You know, he's not in the NBA. He watches National Baseball Association Incorporated, something like that.
Major League Baseball.
Major. Isn't that beautiful?
Major.
That's what I like, naming your bank league. International Bank.
That's right. Major League Baseball.
Or, you know, the Federal Credit Union. You know, are you the Federal Credit Union? Nope, we're not the Federal Credit Union. Or naming it like a military branch or whatever, right?
Yeah, right.
Like the U.S. Federal Reserve.
Yeah, right. It's nothing federal about that.
Nope.
Not yet. Anyway. So if you missed earlier program, man, we had a chance to be able to have the MVP talk about his mother. Oh, that was so powerful to listen to Kevin Durant spend, out of a 7-minute speech, use 5 minutes of it to talk about calling his mother the MVP. And he reviewed her life, their life together. And that was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just honoring, too. And obviously true. Mm-hmm. And if you missed it, you've got to get it. If you hadn't seen it, you can go to VFNTV.com on the torch. Click on the upper left-hand torch, the VFN torch, and you can see it yourself, or you can see it on Christian Television Network. But, you know, how many people today are addicted to virtual things versus reality, right? I mean, think about it. I remember, you know, I was in a shopping center parking lot, grocery store, waiting for Donna to come out, and I'm watching all these people come out of their cars, and this dangerous place probably in driving time is a parking lot.
Parking lot.
No doubt.
Is a parking lot when, you know, 98-year-old Miss Jones is backing her, you know, whatever up, you know, from that aspect of it. And you can't really see. She can't see over the back of it. Or, you know, 16-year-old, you know, Johnny backing his vehicle up in a parking lot. You got to keep your eyes open in a parking lot. You're you know, like an NBA player. And so it's they're getting out of their cars and they're all looking at their mobile devices, their phones, and they're just walking, looking like this, and they're doing like this, and, you know, and, you know, whatever, and they're just all talking. I thought, man, this is ridiculous. I mean, I can't believe everybody's just, you know, and then I looked at myself. I actually looked back down at mine. I'm hitting my phone.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm actually doing it too. And it's like, who would ever thought these listening sticks, right, that we would actually have these things and we would carry them with them. As you can hear about an earlier article, there was a day, you know, spent in law enforcement, where people would get a device like this strapped to their ankle, and it would track them and it would monitor them and it would let people know if that person who's on house arrest, you know, got any further than whatever their stipulations were by their probation officers. And they hated it. And they actually strapped it to them in a way that you couldn't even cut it off with a saw. It had this big latch device on.
What's
it.
That lunchbox on your ankle? What is
yeah,
that?
Yeah. And they had to pay, you know, so much money a month to maintain that whole thing. And if they went outside, if their dot went outside that block and they're monitoring, then it would set off an alarm, immediately call the probation officer, immediately officers go in that area. And it's like, they hated that. They hated that. As a matter of fact, one of the last arrests I made in my last month of being in law enforcement, I was patting this particular person down who was getting arrested for A, not B. And when I got to his ankle, I found out he was a student in a high school that was on house arrest. On arrest. The teacher didn't even know he had one of those bracelets on his ankle. It would have been nice to know that he was wanted for armed burglary out of Texas, by the way. You need to tell the teachers, you know, who's in their classroom, because she was getting on to him about something. He could have just, you know, freaked out. But today, you don't have to strap it to nobody. We just carry it with us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And we pay for it more than they paid.
Yeah.
Where probation is like, something's not right. It sounds like we bought into a new narrative about we don't mind being observed. We don't mind being controlled. We don't mind people knowing everything about us. And it just makes you think about there's no true relationships. People say, you know, I have 472 friends. And it's like, whoa, how do you know you have 472? Maybe one of them maybe not like you no more. And you find out it's because they're talking about people that pushed a logarithm button on a computer program that is titled friend. Instead, it could be titled how we're going to make a lot of money connecting you to people that you know, so y'all can share stuff back and forth that we can figure out how to market you. But they just kind of summed it up with one word and said friend. And Mark Zuckerberg with Facebook and that type of thing. And I was just watching the CEO of Facebook, or the president, CEO, whatever she is. She used to work for Google. Now she works for
Sandberg.
Lean Forward author. Yes. And it was it's amazing what they're doing. And they're just tracking everything. And now they're talking about the big conversation is about NSA and the security agency, national security agencies that is or isn't, whatever, gathering all of our data. And the truth is that what are we doing with it? And what we're doing, even though the word says social media, even though it says, you know, you get friends this way, there's really no friendship going on. And then you hear people talking, they say things like, you know, I was just talking to so-and-so, you know, and he's like, oh, you were? Yeah. Well, how are they doing? Oh, they're great. This is going on. This is going on. This is going on. You go, look, all right, great. When did you last see him? Oh, I haven't seen him in about 3 years. I was just prowling through their Facebook. I was like, isn't that a crime? Didn't it was like right. Stalking, right? Now, I remember a young lady saying that she said very specifically that's what she would do. She would stalk folks. Oof. I mean, you look at the stalking thing is where you fought today because you're posting everything. Then in stalking is where somebody just follows your life and they created stalking laws. And we're not talking about socks, stockings, but stalking, you know,
stalking.
Yeah.
Stalk ahead.
Stalking. Like a tournament of stockings. Uh-huh. And so in that, people can just basically look like, okay, they're eating okra for lunch and they're having oatmeal for breakfast and they're at a whatever here, that's their friends, and they're concerned about that. They talk about, you know, predators and all stalking children who are coming on, or just stalking everybody. It doesn't have to be just children, it's everybody. And it's like, this is not good. But the big thing that's going on, that we're known as Christians, we're known as being part of the Lord's family by the love and the relationship we have with each other, that we actually have a tangible relationship. And he tells us, you know, as the day grows close, he says, don't forsake the fellowshipping together. And he says, and when all these things happen, look up. Look up, for your redemption is nigh. And I want to tell you, I want to challenge you today, because we're just going to show you something. This is a beautiful poem video that's put together. It's called Look Up. And he talks about how things, if we don't look up from our mobile devices, then our life's going to be totally different. Take a look at this.
I have 422 friends, yet I'm lonely. I speak to all of them every day, yet None of them really know me. The problem I have sits in the spaces between, looking into their eyes or at a name on a screen. I took a step back and opened my eyes. I looked around and realised that this media we call social is anything but when we open our computers and it's our doors we shut. All this technology we have, it's just an illusion. Community, companionship, a sense of inclusion. Yet when you step away from this device of delusion, you awaken to see a world of confusion. A world where we're slaves to the technology we mast. A world of self-interest, self-image, self-promotion. Where we all share our best bits, but leave out the emotion. We're at our most happy with an experience we share. But is it the same if no one is there? Be there for your friends, and they'll be there too. But no one will be if a group message will do. We edit and exaggerate, crave adulation. We pretend not to notice the social isolation. We put our words into order until our lives are glistening. We don't even know if anyone is listening. Being alone isn't a problem. Let me just emphasise, if you read a book, paint a picture, or do some exercise, you're being productive and present, not reserved and recluse. You're being awake and attentive and putting your time to good use. So when you're in public and you start to feel alone, put your hands behind your head, step away from the phone. You don't need to stare at your menu or at your contact list. Just talk to one another. Learn to coexist. I can't stand to hear the silence of a busy commuter train where no one wants to talk through the fear of looking insane. We're becoming unsocial. It no longer satisfies to engage with one another and look into someone's eyes. We're surrounded by children who, since they were born, have watched us living like robots and think it's the norm. It's not very likely you'll make world's greatest dad if you can't entertain a child without using an iPad. When I was a child, I'd never be home. Be out with my friends on our bikes we would roam. I'd wear holes in my trainers and graze up my knees. We'd build our own clubhouse high up in the trees. Now the park's so quiet it gives me a chill. See no children outside and the swings hanging still. There's no skipping, no hopscotch, no church and no steeple. We're a generation of idiots, smartphones and dumb people. So look up from your phone, shut down the display. Take in your surroundings, make the most of today. Just one real connection is all it can take to show you the difference that being there can make. Be there in the moment that she gives you the look that you remember forever as when love overtook. The time she first holds your hand or first kiss your lips. The time you first disagree but still love her to bits. The time you don't have to tell hundreds of what you've just done because you want to share this moment with just this one. The time you sell your computer so you can buy a ring for the girl of your dreams who is now the real thing. The time you want to start a family and the moment when you first hold your little girl and get to fall in love again. The time she keeps you up at night and all you want is rest. And the time you wipe away the tears as your baby flees the nest. The time your baby girl returns with a boy for you to hold. And the time he calls you granddad and makes you feel real old. The time you take in all you've made just by giving life attention, and how you're glad you didn't waste it by looking down at some invention. The time you hold your wife's hand, sit down beside her bed, you tell her that you love her, lay a kiss upon her head. She then whispers to you quietly, as her heart gives a final beat, that she's lucky she got stopped by that lost boy in the street. But none of these times ever happened. You never had any of this. When you're too busy looking down, you don't see the chances you miss. So look up from your phone, shut down those displays. We have a finite existence, a set number of days. Don't waste your life getting caught in the net, as when the end comes, nothing's worse than regret. I'm guilty too of being part of this machine, this digital world we are heard but not seen, where we type as we talk and we read as we chat, where we spend hours together without making eye contact. So don't give in to a life where you follow the hype. Give people your love. Don't give them your like. Disconnect from the need to be heard and defined. Go out into the world. Leave distractions behind. Look up from your phone. Shut down that display. Stop watching this video. Live life the real way.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNfamily.org. VFNfamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
You may be joining us today, and you're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving father who loves you, who sent his son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories. You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. It's amazing, you know, how, I mean, this young man nailed it. We're going to make that available to you on the VFN Torch. You go to VFNTV.com, and you can see it yourself. You didn't get a chance to see it on television. But those that are listening, you can hear how powerful that is. And you got to see it because in that one moment that his destiny changed because he wasn't looking. He had a piece of paper looking for directions, not Google Maps.
Right.
And so he had to stop this girl on the street and ask her directions. She gave her directions, ended up, long story short, being his wife, the mother of his children, the one that he would hold her hand as she would go away and she'd pass away. And it was all that moment that came back to it. And then it goes back to it. And shows him with an iPhone, and he comes to that same intersection because he didn't need to communicate with anybody because he was communicating with Smith with Google, right? And the president of Google, and because he had Google Maps, and so he doesn't even look up. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even look up, and she passes him by. His future. Yeah. And how many people? I mean, first of all, I remember in the city, you know. Anyway, I mean, I know you guys are listening to the city right now. I mean. It's not like you crank up conversations in the subway, but now there's definitely no conversation going on. I mean, that's when I first learned how that you could sit in a small enclosed area and be like Pat, no, say nothing at all. They had no problem. People didn't talk at all.
No.
They just kind of, you could actually have, okay, if you had a car, how many people could fit in a car, for example, right now?
In the subway car?
Yeah, just one car.
20? 25?
It's got to be more than that.
Depends, I mean.
I would imagine just being the small, with 20, so if you had 20
well,
people
no,
in
you,
there.
But, no, you're probably right. Probably 50. Yeah, 50.
So that means you have 100 eyeballs. So how can, but it's amazing. Every eyeball can actually look somewhere, not looking at someone, and nobody sees anything. And it's just a peripheral experience. And now with these devices, you know, people really don't.
It's an excuse to look down.
It's an excuse not to actually acknowledge that you. And then you think about all these parents who don't even pay attention to their children. He says, if you can't be a dad without an iPad, you know what I'm saying?
You're in trouble, yeah.
Yeah, and but it's media in general. And then he says, this is what he was talking about. He says, you know, we've become a generation of idiots with smartphones, but dumb people. And it seems weird because when you're hanging around somebody that knows so much and has no problem sharing what they know, you actually start thinking you know it. But actually, that person's a source to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know that because you find out, you know, like a young kid that thinks they know everything, and all of a sudden they go out on their own and they find out, well, that was mom's wisdom. That was dad's wisdom. That wasn't my wisdom.
That's right.
And they have this time of suffrage, the suffrage movement, where they come back to their senses. Well, what happens when you turn off your smartphone and you realize that it actually was Google or Bing or whoever out there that was answering these questions for you and apps and all, that really wasn't your intelligence. It was like, it's like walking into a library and saying, I'm smart. You're not smart. You just know what books to pull.
Right.
And then you have to read the book and find out how to do something. And that's how being a doctor, you first got to walk into the school and then they're going to teach you things. Well, imagine now if they say, you don't have to even know it. I'll just hold your hand and I'll show you how to do all. You never were a doctor.
Yeah.
But the doctor held your hands. And so if any point they want to let go of your hands, you can no longer do that surgery anymore. You know what I'm saying? And that's, this technology is getting that way. And the biggest thing in regards to the church, what we're losing is relationships, you know, marital relationships, family relationships. We're not taking into consideration, you know, what's happening. And what we went through, what we call the dark ages, where we went from paper management and stuff historically. Then we came into technology because technology is like, man, look what technology can do and we were able to do so much, but it was so much that we were disconnected from what we were doing. So we were doing it. Yes. And you remember that we were in, he and I have always walked together in these different encounters, and he's a witness to this. But somebody's saying, you know, I've got your information over here. So he comes out of our chairs where we're sitting, and he walks over to his desk, and he starts pulling up, you know, his contact information.
Right.
And he pulls up his contact information, and it's like he's trying all these different ways to pull up. And he's frantically looking, you know, for, and this is a brother, you know what I'm saying?
This is a brother in the Lord.
And, of course, I was having fun with him. Like, I thought you loved me. I'm not even in your contacts, you know. And I said, Dad? No, it wasn't. Dad. And but it just, those kind of systems, and I can relate to that because that was called the dark ages for us. It's like, I'd rather do less and be connected than to feel like I'm doing more and be disconnected. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening is right now. You know, one of the things that we're talking about during the break, where he says in this particular lookup poem, he says, I'd rather you give love than give like, you know, liking something. But it's amazing how many people's values based off how many people like something.
Crazy.
Or, you know, the sand ballot whole situation that we know about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how things are right now. But we as Christians, we're supposed to actually be, you know, the one another's, love one another, you know, take care of one another, meet each other's needs. They will know that you are my disciples by your love for each other. And quite often what's happening is the church is running out and being a social justice movement, you know, meeting the needs of the world when they're not even having a relationship with their own brothers and sisters in the Lord to be able to, in that creates this divine encounter where Jesus says, where two or more are gathered in that mindset, there I am in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. And he says, and the world will know that you, that they are loved by God as much as they love me, Jesus said, just by you guys having a true relationship, not a virtual relationship. And you can just see where, you know, we're going right in to this, you know, economic mark, you know, the mark of the beast, where this virtual whatever is going to be tracking everything. I mean, you can see it. But the church, we have to understand, you know, what do we do? What we did when we came out of the dark ages of that whole mindset was, you know, we went back to paper for a season and said, you know, I'd rather have a pocket knife and a piece of wood to carve this thing out so I'm connected to everything that I'm doing, because I want to pray. I want to prayerfully connect to that. And what came out of that is we found out is that technology wasn't bad. This is our perspective of it. But technology submits to us. We don't submit to technology. Just because Google Maps says take a right, that's just an option. That's just an option. You know, just because, you know, it says you have, you know, 200 friends or 1,000 friends or whatever,
it's not real.
It's just a logarithm. It's a button they decided to name friend. If you really name the button, the word that says like on it, because you can name, by the way, this is how it works. There's nothing there. Then somebody enters some logarithms and some data, and then they decide, I want a button here. When they push this button, it will do whatever I wanted it to do. Then they say, okay, we'll pick blue. And they say, okay, now we got to, I mean, people are not going to know it's a button unless you call it something. Well, we know what it does. It actually connects us to their innermost secrets and their social life and how they think and who their friends are. And we all know how to market to them. What do you want to call that? Suck them dry? You know, voyeur into their life of marketing, right. Voyeur marketing. No, let's just call it friend. And it's amazing. It was brilliant marketing, you know, and you connected. And as soon as you push that button, if you actually look at what happens, and we have the privilege of looking at some of the things that happen in the context of that, there is literally spiral connectings to everything that you do now. Everything's connected. So I encourage you, you know, let, you know, technology submit to you. Be willing to live without it, and you can find out, just like he ended with turning it off. See what your life is like about turning it off. And understand this, where the enemy may be using it for evil, if you use it for good, if you begin to reach these folks who are socially disconnected but virtually thinking that they're in some relationships, you can begin to say, it ain't real. It's not real. And there's nothing more difficult than talking to this generation about reality when they really feel their virtual reality is a reality and it's not. Mm-mm. And when we stand before the throne of God, God's not going to be saying, okay, like or unlike. It's going to be the judgment seat. Mm. And he says, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me. Whatever you didn't do to the least of these, you didn't do to me. And he's the ones who didn't do to him don't go to heaven. So it's important for us to know. He says, if you love me, you're going to love your brothers and your sisters. He says, it's impossible to love God. He even calls us a liar if we don't love our brothers. And we can only know that when we hang out with them. We spend time with them, not virtually, but physically. I just want to challenge you to look up. Our redemption draws nigh.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light meaning the light of the world, a not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio. And you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church. And they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties. And they like the whole scheme of the thing. And they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Join me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We have some things we're going to talk to you about today. One, we're going to talk to you about a doormat. Well, more about that in a little bit. But if you missed our earlier program, you got to catch it about looking up. It'll really encourage you to think a different perspective and about digital devices. Just, we're talking about, being engulfed in your virtual world versus your natural world. But there's always some folks where some people are saying, all they're doing is just, nothing. But you have other people that are looking in their digital devices and they're actually balancing their checkbook, or they're doing what they did somewhere else, or they're paying a bill, or they're running their company,
right?
Or they're setting up schedules. So you actually have five people that are looking at their digital devices. Four of them are actually doing absolutely nothing.
Right.
And the one person's running an entire corporation.
Right.
So you can't look at and assume that everybody that's looking at a device is looking at it for just whatever reasons. Yeah, but you can do some significant things if technology submits these. You got to find out. It's a powerful poem and a video. It's called Look Up. You got to check it out. It's on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. Also, John, we're talking about this, the sex trafficking. What happened with that?
What's going on? Well, Brazil's getting ready for the World Cup, which is a huge, huge event. They're attracting close to half a million people are going to be coming for this event. But what also happens during this event is a lot of sex trafficking occurs. And what they've put together is a documentary.
What is that? I mean,
it's literally when somebody sells another person for sex.
Slavery.
Slavery. And sad to say, it's women and it's small children. And this is happening all over the world. I mean, all over the world. And some of the biggest people that are involved in this are Americans that are going to a lot of these countries where people are poor and they sell their children. Life has no value in some of these countries, and they sell their children into sex to be sex slaves.
We're going to be talking about that during our program. And, I always said when I was in law enforcement, there would be no prostitution if there was no Johns.
No pimp. Right. Yeah, no pimps. No Johns.
No Johns. No Johns. But there's no customers. They're not going to run the store. The store will close down.
I like the word customers.
Oh, John, that's right. Right. Johnny on the spot. Okay.
He's on that one.
Yeah. And So we've been praying specifically about, you know, dear Lord, you know, end sex trafficking, and we've been seeing major inroads, and you can go to VFNTV.com and click on links and see how one of the, you got to see this one organization is called Our Rescue, the Underground Railroad. It's so powerful. These retired SEALs and, you know, strong, intelligent folks who go in and just raid. They got that right now. You can see where, you know, we support them.
Yeah,
they went into Haiti and rescued these kids. And they show the whole apparatus, and it was an orphanage, you know, supposedly an orphanage that was setting up to like adopt children out. But what they really were doing was selling children.
Wow.
They were selling children, and they went and rescued these children. And you were just seeing, and of course, IHOP KC, and God began to release that word in a whole new way coming out of the 24-hour prayer coming out of there about, you know, dealing with this, Lou Engle and
Exodus Cry.
You know, we've been partnering with them for years now. And God is answering, you know, God is answering this, and God cares, and God is concerned. And we need to also realize, as we talk about this, you know, what leads a society to this.
Right.
And you're going to hear what John talk about. It's mostly Americans. Like, what are we doing in America that's creating such an environment that all of a sudden we think about enslaving other nations? Well, that sounds historical to me, because that's what happened historically. In the roots of America, where it looked to enslave other nations for their own personal benefit, and we got to stop that, because there's more sex slaves now, children and women being traded in sex slavery than there was ever slaves on the earth. I heard it's the biggest over a million or something of that nature. But also, we have a constitution. I don't know if you know about this or not. If 81% of Christians are not even picking up their Bible, I doubt very seriously if many are picking up the Constitution and reading it. We do segments on and shows and articles on the Constitution, so we can learn that way. We don't have to learn it where you sit down in some way. We can just talk about it.
Yeah.
And if you go to the original tent, you can hear us talk about and learn together and grow together, but you need to know about it, because a man's, it appears allegedly and reportedly, according to the report that John's going to be talking to you about, this man was in a school board meeting. People that you actually you voted in to represent you, to take your point of view over your kids and your community, when he's talking to the ones that got voted in, he brought security in and had him escorted out and arrested because reports are he went over 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're going to be showing you this. And the interesting thing about this is first of all, it's a violation of constitutional rights to be able to have free speech. Secondly, is that the people around him felt like they didn't even want to put their eyes on what was going on, so they just turned their heads away. And you'll do that if you don't know that this is a violation of your rights, like the county commissioner did, who stood up and said, this is a constitutional right, and I'll go to jail for this constitution. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and she was proven right, because it is a constitutional right. That's the purpose of the judicial branch. The Supreme Court is to find out, is this constitutionally sound or not? Although there's been some pretty wild rulings, that is the ruling that's so strong that the First Amendment stood up. And so this guy's constitutional rights was violated. Absolutely. It looks about, you know, based on what the reports are. And it's the First Amendment right. And so we'll be talking about that as well and so much more. So talk to us about what's happening in Brazil.
Well, you know, World Cup's coming, which is a big, huge football event, as they call it there, everywhere besides America.
We call it soccer.
Soccer here. Because
our football's not round.
No, it's not. So half a million people, half a million people are going to go to Brazil to be a part of these games and, you know, the whole week's activities. But included in that, unfortunately, are people, ladies, children, they're going to be sold as slaves, sex slaves, and they're even advertising on websites. Like,
oh,
you know, get tickets, get this, that, and, you know, and a slave. You know, if you will. I mean, they're not naming it a slave, but, you know, they're selling these things.
They're combining the tickets and
slavery for a purchase.
Oh, wow.
It's like, how? You know, that's crazy. It's awful. It's evil. And what they're trying to do is a group's trying to come together to educate the people in advance, to let them know, hey, listen, this is what's happening. I know you're coming for these games. We found this happening during the big football game. Help me out.
In Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. They had major rings that were going.
Oh, well, this is pause for a moment.
Hang on.
This you don't even serious. Know what the Super Bowl is.
It's serious. It's serious.
This is serious. Anyway, they caught all of these rings. They stopped all these rings. And the FBI got involved and stopped all of them. But all these major sporting events, they attract a lot of fans.
These slavery rings, these prostitution
yeah.
rings.
Yeah. You know, they attract a lot of fans, but they also, you know, attract a lot of just horrible things that are happening to these young people. And so they're, the whole purpose behind this is to get a movie behind, a documentary that kind of shows what really happens here mm-hmm. and to help people not to get caught up in this. And, of course, to tell people, hey, don't do this. This is evil. And you're going to get arrested. And you know, there's going to be big penalties for this.
Well, how many wives, when their husband says, you know, I'm going to go to this football game,
yeah.
they're thinking that he's going to the football game.
That's right. right.
You know, and this is what's happening in the context of that. You know, who would even...
Who wouldn't put those two together?
Yeah.
So we have a video for you from CBN. Why don't you take a look at this and see kind of a little bit about what they're sharing.
The World Cup soccer matches in Brazil start in June, but one of the top issues is what's happening off the field, sex trafficking. There's concern sex tourists will abuse thousands of young children literally in the shadows of the stadiums. But as Heather Sells reports, Operation Blessing is working to fight this abuse with a new documentary.
Brazil hopes to attract more than 500,000 fans for this summer's World Cup and take in billions of tourism dollars. Unfortunately, sex traffickers hope that an already profitable market there will prove even more lucrative this year. Their perverse business model links world-class soccer with child sexual exploitation.
You can go online and see like $12,000. $10,000 for the flight, the hotel, the game, and the girl.
Many believe that showing tourists and Brazilians the dangers of child trafficking is the best way to fight it before the World Cup. That's the idea behind a documentary that Operation Blessing is releasing next month.
We're trying to raise the stigma against this and educate the people coming in for the World Cup that this isn't just a service you can buy without consequences, that These are children trapped in a hell.
To raise that stigma, the filmmakers hope to reach families. Thanks to a hyper-sexualized culture, views on sexuality have become warped.
We see kids talking at 12, 11, that if you haven't lose your virginity when you're 12 or 11, something's wrong with you. I see many, many cases of mothers being like selling their daughters to neighbors, you know, on the streets, taking them to the street, teaching them kind of the business to survive.
Traverso says this twisted mindset combined with poverty created the perfect storm in Brazil, which now carries an international reputation for child sex trafficking.
Look at the problem, you know, over 500,000 children in prostitution. Some reports say over 1 million children in prostitution.
Operation Blessing hopes to air its documentary on Brazilian national television and will also produce a short video for airlines bringing World Cup fans to the games. It's also working with other ministries to directly reach fans at the venues and speak out against the tragedy of trafficking. Heather Sells, CBN News.
Amazing. We need to stay educated on the forefront, and we need to continue to pray, as we have been praying, and join others that this evil be stopped, and support other ministries. We have resources for you at VFNTV.com. Yes. Click on links and you'll see Operation
Underground Railroad
as well as Exodus Crying. These
yes.
people are going into these places, they're making projects, they're educating, but they're also physically extracting.
Physically showing in helicopters and all that kind of stuff.
We got to end this.
Yes.
We got to end this.
Yes, we got to end it. Dear Lord, end sex trafficking.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
But you know, I was thinking about you guys, and thinking about our VFN radio listeners, as you guys have been just connecting with us. We are so appreciative of just the great conversation that we're all joining together as we continue to encourage God's people. But I was thinking about McDonald's. I know that it's one of Chris's favorite places, and as I was thinking,
which one?
Mickey D's.
Oh yeah, he does tend to venture out a little bit.
We know that he likes to visit for lunch, you know, quite a bit. It's interesting how he just kind of slips out the studio and slips back in. Just disappears. Where is Chris? And then there's a quick beeline, you know, to where he has to go. But I hear the rumbling, the crisp bag, you know, just mm-hmm. bumping up against his leg as he's racing by. And I smell an aroma coming from over there, and I see that pretty large bag of Mickey D's. Did you bring some for the rest of us? No, he's very quiet right now.
Yeah.
He's very quiet. Well, Chris, I want you to know. I want you to feel good about this, because maybe it's coming to America, right? But right now in Japan, you can order French fries, but not a regular, you know. They went from the large to the supersize. Now they have the mega.
Oh, come on.
Mega potato. It is double the large size.
Oh, my goodness.
It is double. You know how many calories are in a regular? I mean, I don't know.
There's not. You can't even count them. Yeah. There's so many.
I stopped doing fries just to put that out there.
Thank you for your confession.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Just to put that out there.
Thank you for your confession. You let go of the fries, huh?
I let go.
Thank you, Jesus. He repented.
But somebody did ask me for some fries yesterday. I won't name any names.
Okay, don't name any names. It's not necessary. Just confess your own sin, okay? But listen, I mean, fries. I don't know what they put in these fries, but let me tell you, they're addictive. Those fries are good. Their fries are good. But I don't know if you knew this. This is the Daily News is reporting that it weighs, this mega potato weighs about 3/4 pound, and it clocks in at 1,142 calories.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
57 grams of fat and 800 milligrams of sodium.
That's the whole potato?
No, it's a... I don't know if it's a whole potato, but they call it the mega potato. It's a double. You should see the picture. We might have a picture of this.
Is it an order of fries?
It's an order of fries. Oh, okay. But it's a double order of large fries.
Right.
It's you need two hands to hold the container. You need two hands to hold the container.
Grief.
And apparently this is one of those like limited promotion things that they're running.
Let's hope.
In Japan. Well, it's in Japan. Hopefully it won't come over here. And normally you can get, I think, a whole meal for $5. These potatoes alone cost $5. So, you know, clue, stay away from the potatoes.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You won't believe what we're about to talk to you about. It's so important. I think about the retired archbishop, which says about doormats. He says specifically, listen to this.
I've often said, if you behave like a doormat, don't be surprised if people treat you like one.
You got to hear, this is such a wisdom. This guy's coming out of Great Britain. He's talking about how people are just overriding the church and churches doing nothing. He's saying very specifically, listen to this.
I've often said, if you behave like a doormat, don't be surprised if people treat you like one.
Listen, as a citizen in America, you have the Constitution, that you have constitutional rights, which this commissioner that just recently we talked about stood up for in Maryland. Our Constitution, this is what our Constitution says in our First Amendment. You get your little pocket copy of it and carry it with you, since so many folks are working on trying to get you not to remember it.
Right.
But it says, the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the rights of people to peacefully assemble and to petition the city council, school board, or to petition the government for a redress of grievances. In other words, it's your constitutional right to be able to say, you know, specifically, you know, how you're feeling to your representative government. It's actually in the Constitution. You have the right to be able to do that, and you're about to see right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
This particular father who was not pleased with the material that his children was viewing. Talk about the material.
His 14-year-old daughter had a reading assignment from school, and the book is called 19 Minutes. And in this book, I mean, it was horrible. It had a lot of things about, you know, sex themes in it. He describes
it. Was very explicit, right?
Very explicit. In fact, he says it reads like a transcript for a triple X porno movie. This is the father saying.
Oh, my goodness. The book that her 14-year-old
child. Mm-hmm. So the responsible father, right? You want to have healthy parents, right? He shows up to the school board meeting to address this issue and saying, hey, you know, what's the deal with this? Calm, just like any, you know, but he wants to address it. And they actually have him physically removed and arrested because he went over his 2 minutes. 2 minutes allotted time, and he's asking the question, am I being arrested for civil disobedience? Because he went over 2 minutes. And you can clearly see, and hopefully we'll have available for you, you know, some footage about this. But
yes, take a look at this now. I mean, you got to see this taking place. This is WMUR.
And yes, there was a mistake made. The paper should have gone home. Okay? But there was comment that we're having dictated,
it comes up right after this.
Schools dictating what's doing. These people will be dictating what you can and cannot read and what my kids cannot read.
That's
and
absurd.
My time is up.
That's
sorry.
Sir, you got to get
that's fine. I don't matter. Well, the whole thing is that this
please,
is ridiculous.
Sir.
Please, sir. That's fine. Please, sir. It's absurd. Why don't you have to be arrested? Why don't we do that as a civic class? A nice First Amendment lesson, right?
Please.
It's absurd, but everybody's playing around about what the content of this is. Nobody's talking about censoring the book. Nobody's talking about banning the book or burning the book or anything.
Would you please be respectful of the other people?
You're respectful of my daughter, right, and my children. That you put this book out with the notice. Why don't we read the notice that was put out?
All right, we asked him. Would anyone else like to speak?
Because I violated 2 minute rule.
All right. Would
Notice how everybody looks away. This is First Amendment rights.
Nothing.
And now they're cuffing him up.
His issue here is that the school did not send any kind of literature advising the parents of what was going to be. The assignment is going to be given, and, you know, all of a sudden it's a week into this his child reading the book, and he realizes, what are you reading? This is an assignment? The school sent this to you? What is this? And so he expresses his opinion and his right as a parent to be able to say, hey, listen, this is not appropriate. We don't need to have this, you know, in our school system. And at the very least, as a parent, we need to be notified that you're making this as an assignment.
Yeah, and the whole thing is that it is totally not, it's a violation of the First Amendment rights of this man. And we're trying to show you here, he's actually being taken to a cruiser right here. You can see him being taken to the cruiser and being cuffed. You got to see this taking place. Mm-hmm. Imagine this being at your school board meeting and seeing this thing take place. There you can see it now. And this is happening. And understand that if you don't know what the First Amendment is, you have the right to petition your government. They were putting a book out that he wasn't in agreement with, but he wasn't saying, he openly said in the meeting, I'm not saying ban the book or I'm not saying that you should burn the book, that you should actually let us know this is what you're doing.
That's
because
right.
The reports are alleged that he's making is that it was pornographic.
Yeah.
It was pornographic in nature. And you're seeing him right now. They're taking him, this father who was concerned about his girl. And this is kind of like what's happening right now in America. It's like, This is what has been said, and I believe even Hillary Clinton, who's a potential, I think she's going to be, she was Secretary of State, that she said, this is President Bill Clinton's wife, that really it's a village that raises the kids, that really that children belong to the state, and the state really, you know, allegedly, you know, that's what's being said. And that, and if you think that way, you're thinking like, well, we know better than you, sir, how to raise your daughter. Look, they're cuffing him up right now as you can speak if you're watching this.
Wow.
And this is a father.
Wow.
And all he's saying is you sent pornographic literature, I guess, you know.
You know, the words were so horrific in the book that I saw one reporter couldn't even put the screenshot of the deleted and blotted out words, because what was left there and what was insinuated was just as graphic. So they couldn't even put that on primetime television,
right.
The blotted words.
Right, and it's so important when you think about it. Let me read this again. This is the First Amendment right. Understand, when you go to your city council meetings, you go to your commissioner meetings, when you go to the Congress, your state, or your U.S. Congress, it's that government represents you. I mean, there is order. You need to be able to maintain order in the context of that, but you have a right to address your grievances. You can say what you need to say, whatever it is. And he was saying very explicitly, and it looks like they were totally ignoring, you know, what he was saying. But your First Amendment rights, it says in the First Amendment of the Constitution, it says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Okay, that's one thing. But then the word next thing comes up is or, so this is important, or prohibit the free exercise thereof, and then there's another, or abridge the freedom of speech. Mm. This guy had a freedom of speech. He could say whatever he needed to say, or the freedom of the press, or the right of people to peacefully assemble, and to petition their government for a redress of grievances. In other words, he had a grievance about this particular book that he was just saying, you know, if you would have known, based on this report, if you would have just let me know that this was going to happen, it never would have crossed my daughter's hands.
Right.
It never would have crossed my, you know, this, well, I wouldn't be here today.
Right.
And he said, why don't we just read the letter that you sent out? And they didn't, any of that, didn't address any of that at all. And we're looking where the very, very people that are supposed to represent we the people are kind of taken over in the context in this incident. It's not everywhere, but this is major. This is major. When you start seeing and you watch what happened to everybody when that was taking place, they were all looking different directions. It was sort of like oil and water. They all just kind of separated from this particular guy. And it's like, and this is an education institution. So in education, our school, you think they would teach the Constitution. And this guy's even saying, this is a civics lesson. That's what he's talking about. This is a civics lesson. This is how things work. And he says, go ahead and arrest me. Then we'll have a civics lesson here. In other words, you can't violate my constitutional right.
Wow.
And they did it. They actually did it. And it makes you wonder, you know, how many law enforcement even knows, you know, what is your constitutional right? I mean, that's why you read the Miranda rights to citizens before you arrest them, because they have rights. They have right to remain silent. Anything you say can or will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to have somebody to represent you to make sure your constitutional rights are upheld. That's what it's talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's like, my goodness, you know, we got to wake up. And truly, I believe it's when we turn back to God's word, God will let us have the words of the Constitution back. I don't think we'll get the Constitution back if we don't get back in the word and let God get our hearts back. Because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn away from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Understand, just like this archbishop said, if we keep acting like a doormat, they're going to treat you like a doormat.
That's right.
But we're not supposed to be in any kind of rebellion, going against any kind of laws, just like that county, that commissioner did in our previous program. She said, listen, this is my constitutional right. And it was proven right. All the way to the Supreme Court. And today, because she stood up, the First Amendment is upheld across the land now, where you can pray in the name of Jesus. And we need to do that for men and women like this and say, and you can actually express your grievances to your school board about what they're doing for your kids.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.